Hey.
And thank you very much for tuning again here on State of Play. So yesterday, just before 9 p.m., this is around, let's say, 8:40, 8:45, thereabout. Then I got word that, of course, everybody knew there was this meeting that was happening.
Yeah.
Then I got word that Chairman Abuzu has resigned. I was not entirely surprised. Except that I thought, well, he was not going to go, was he?
But then it looked like he was not going to go.
Yes, absolutely.
But from the Haruna Ajusu experience, when they say you must go, you must go. he will not last. No matter the processes that you go. I actually think that, Haruna Ajusu put up a stronger fight than James Abuzu. I really think that he really persisted more than James Abuzu. If in that case, they told us that over reach a point, 190 or so MP. Invincible. For a very long time, it didn't make sense to make anybody replace him. Or unless, because he had actually not contested his primaries, it means that he was going to be out of parliament. So he really had 9 months or eight, no, 9 months, yeah, to be out of parliament, whether he liked it or not. So that was going to happen. It just happened that the way we heard it. I saw NPP people I knew on Facebook already telling us the leadership in parliament. Oh, they are moved on. They were telling us. People were campaigning for the vice president and the NPP today. Basically putting out there, social media activists telling us a new leadership of parliament. And somehow, some way, it appeared a bit awkward because the understanding was that this is a man you needed to continue. Not long ago, Evans, you and I sat here and said he's the best minister in government.
Yeah.
We are of the people that the kind of job that he's supposed to do and the kind of parliament unprecedented in nature that he had to handle. It was a big job that he was doing and that he had done very, even though he was on the side, he was like the translator between two very hostile tribes.
Yeah.
His job was keeping his people in check and also getting them to do the job that they had to do, getting them to appear every single time he needed them for a major vote. And sometimes he slipped away from the e-levies and other things happening along the line. And also, on the other side, having to operate with a speaker who was not on our side. I'm not sure in this fourth republic anybody can claim to have had such a difficult role as leader of the house. So basically, if you count the speaker as part of the people determining government business, when they sit on the table, they are more than you in the majority. Yeah. They are essentially on the side. The job of Chairman Abuzu was perhaps the most difficult. So I felt this is a perfect man to be there. But when you take him out of the parliamentary process, if you sit him down and listen to his ideas about how we should reform the constitution, improve governance, they are solid. They are not partisan in nature. It's the reason why he was the one who was able to put a team together to look at what can be done with the constitutional review process and where we should take it up from and move it forward. I hope you get my point.
Yeah.
So I was particularly impressed with the difficulties he had to go through and still be leader of the majority and leader of the house. Then subsequently, you start hearing things. Chairman Abuzu wants to be minister.
Mm-hmm.
You heard those ones. People started saying it. Oh, he wants to leave parliament. He wants to. When the reshuffle blues came in, he was one of the people that I have heard that he was going to be moved to a different ministry. And it was going to be pretty obvious that, some of you mentioned foreign affairs. That he was going to, because the foreign affairs minister is already ranking to go to Commonwealth Secretariat and all the other conversations were happening, and that you needed Chairman Abuzu moving
was
to
he
something
pushed,
else.
Was he pushed or did he jump?
Oh, I think he was pushed. Because, you see, the same people who was telling us about all of these, he was moving, he was going there, you could sense where their statements were coming from. The same people were also preparing. The same people made it very clear that if anyone has started doing things like incoming leader of the majority, he has started attending meetings and meeting people in a quasi that capacity, even though he's deputy and people know that he's deputy. The conversations around him is going to be around that end. Then there was reshuffle. His name was not on the reshuffle list. If I was not even reshuffle, because he's still minister, right? Minister of, Vice still Minister of the Parliamentary Affairs.
So what we know is that a formal announcement will be made. His ministry will be scrapped. So he's still Minister for Parliamentary Affairs.
Yes, but there's a different majority leader.
Exactly. So that is why that formal announcement, as we speak tonight, has still not been communicated.
Okay.
Because he has to come to the Speaker.
Yes.
When that happens, of course, his position as a Minister for Parliamentary Affairs becomes untenable.
Yes.
But from what we learn, that ministry will cease to exist once that formal announcement is done. So they'll scrap it. So the Afenyo Markem will just be the majority leader and not have that.
He will not be a minister.
He will not be a minister, from what we understand. So that's what we know. But here's the thing, though. When this started, it created divisions among the majority side in the House. We're asking the question, so who really pushed James Ambongso? Who really pushed him? And you said he was pushed. Who pushed him?
The last minute meeting.
Yes. Who pushed him?
Oh, then it will be the president.
Well, obviously, because in that room, it was the ultimate voice.
Yeah.
But who else was in on this? Let's track back to last year. Last year, the rumor surfaced that he was going to go, but there was going to be reshuffle.
Yeah.
I went to interview him, and I asked him that question. He gave me a cryptic answer, and his answer was suggested that he is head, that they want to remove him, but he pretends he's not head, and that they should proceed. They should do what they want to do. So he knew about it as of last year, that there was a move
to
move him.
Yeah.
So this isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't new.
That's true.
Except that with the election of the flag bearer, with the changes that the president had made, a decision had been taken, the time is now. But it's also very obvious that he didn't want to leave, especially when the aspirations of one being a Minister of Foreign Affairs, which everybody knew was an open secret, you know, that he wanted to get so that Shela Ekobochi can do something else as part of the reshuffle.
Commonwealth Secretariat. We have all thrown our weight behind her.
And then there was also the likelihood that he was going to be appointed as a running mate. Right?
He was in the running. In fact, his troubles in the Ashanti region, and sometimes people even think that some of his other troubles were because of the fact that he had been penciled. And people felt that even if he wanted to take a parliamentarian, frankly, he was one of the key people that deserved or was respected enough to run that position.
Absolutely. With gravitas, with also the reputation to occupy that position. So again, he was in the running. So two positions. Now, then it became apparent that he was not going to get a foreign affairs minister. He wasn't going to be selected as a running mate. So do I lose? Because again, remember, he was resigned to moving on as majority leader.
Yeah.
He was resigned to it.
Yeah.
But also had taken the decision that he was not going to contest again, so I'm not going to go to Parliament.
Yeah,
so he's stepping away. And these two were options for him. And assurances were made to him in one respect or the other as it relates to these two positions. Then it becomes apparent this year that he's not going to get any of these two I mentioned. So then, hunker down and continue with your job. Business as usual. That really was the thinking. I'm going to do the job. And then this gets onto the agenda for NEC and National Council.
Yeah.
Immediately, we saw the revolt from the Joshua Owusu. And pay attention to the group that surrounded him when he was in the press conference. From the Ashanti caucus.
Yes, Ashanti MPs.
You know, the Ashanti MPs. They came to his aid and they went to public to say what he had to say. But there was a view in the party among leaders that this is something that had been negotiated. And so they didn't understand why Joshua Owusu and others were publicly opposing it, to trying to twist the arms of the people who were pushing for this to make it impossible for them to do so. People were very, very upset with Joshua Owusu for doing that because he knew
what
was happening.
He was a powerful voice.
Yeah.
When people wanted this gentleman out of office, the finance minister, it was not backbenchers, but I mean, some other people, the likes of Andy Appiah, Kubi and Cole.
Yeah.
But to have the first Deputy Speaker of Parliament be the one lead the crusade sounded like, okay, this one, there is unanimity that no, this man must not be touched.
Yeah.
I knew that they were calling them. I know an MP who told me that, I mean, how he was built to do interviews. And he called me that, boss, stand down. We beg you, don't continue with any other conversation on this particular matter. It took three people to convince him not to make any further comment on it. Because he had resigned not to be part of the president's meeting with the people because he was not going to change his mind. He knew that he needed the agenda was to get them to change their mind. And he was not going to do his own. Yeah. So no matter what happened, he was going to insist on it. But it took three very powerful people to call and convince him to stand down on the matter. So it appeared he was, I mean, oh, well, the team and the, even head party officials, right? Was it the deputy general secretary that told you that there was no attempt to move them out?
Yeah.
I heard others equally say the same thing.
There was nothing.
Why are people creating the impression that, but already people had opposition to the position that they were canvassing.
Yeah.
People had indeed, in fact, there was even a thinking that we're going to make that announcement side by side the day that they listed, this is campaign team members.
Yes.
And that it was campaign team list that came out later on.
So the reason why it was held up was because Che didn't want to move just yet. So they had to wait. And remember, yesterday, because I sort of was in the heart of the breaking news when it happened, it almost immediately Che accepted to resign.
Yeah.
They released a statement about his appointment as a chair of the campaign, the manifesto team. It was almost immediately.
As if that had been prepared ahead of time.
It had been prepared ahead of time.
It could have been an immediate reaction.
Yeah.
It could have been, we just put the team together, we needed to add one person's name. There was the thinking that has been done already. And well, I think that's a powerful role for him to play. That's if you have...
Is it? He's a manifesto. Chairman of the manifesto.
I take extremely serious and important the manifesto of a political party.
Oh, goodness me.
I have serious attachment to the
manifesto. You are drafting, this document.
The policy document. Party.
And we'll be doing analysis of the manifesto.
Yes,
the manifestos.
Yeah.
What is worth today compared to when it was done in terms of how much of that has been.
I agree. Historically, you have not done well with it.
Yes.
But if you had had time with Chairman Sabonsu, his views about governance going forward and the things he thinks he ought to be done, I think he's in a unique position to influence those ones in that particular manifesto committee. I know that this is to placate him and say, you do something, okay? You have a few months to go, you do something. But the deputy chair of the manifesto, he's in government still. He has not been removed from government.
You could have combined it.
Yes. So, and the majority leader role, it is not a role that you do 24/7. Now, it's not as if government is going to have the turbulent periods they had in the periods in the run-up to the e-levies and all of that. Now, things are cooling off. Now, they can even say that some parliamentarians are at Pediasi, others are elsewhere, and we're doing things. We know that this is not the case now. So, having to change him comes with a lot more than just that. I think at some point, somebody said, Chairman Sabosu is tired and weary. Chairman Sabosu will not lead us the Kenya that we want, and that we should take a cue from the minority and make changes to reflect what's happening in the system that we want to push forward. I still do not think that majority of MPs are for the change anyway, but what would you say?
Yeah.
They just have to agree because some powerful forces are behind it. Would they give Afenyamaki the cooperation that he needs?
Or obviously, you can expect tension there.
Yeah, a bit of that.
You can expect tension.
Yeah, because he was, and if you listen to some of the parliamentarians, Chairman Sahos could personally speak to some of them for them to calm down positions. If you personally get them to, okay, no problem. Let's see how we can deal with this going forward and all of that. I'm not sure Afenyamaki has canvassed that level of control and power as deputy leader. I am not so sure. If you listen to and look at the body language of Joe Osewusu, he was basically saying that, why do people think that Afenyamaki should be leading us anyway? I mean, it was pretty obvious from the way he was speaking and his the way he responded to the speaker in the house
yesterday.
Yes, it was quite clear that even when it comes to a policy position, he believes a couple of boys sitting in the party office cannot dictate to him. You could get it clear from him that what people wake up one day and decide that the fate of parliamentarians, and he made it also almost look like what some experienced parliamentarians. There is people who go sit in some corner and tell us what to do, then we just follow like that. Would it be a very wonderful way to go? So you have a bit of that, but this is politics. The way politics runs is either you play ball or they run you over.
Which is what has happened to you.
Yes. And I expected him to put up a bigger fight than this one.
No, I mean fight. What? If the president had called you into a room with your colleagues and said, I want you to step aside in the bigger interest of the party?
Oh, lame duck president at this time.
he would have insisted, because but the party would have had his way.
Because you think about it this way. What can President Akufo-Addo do against Chairman and Bosu's fortunes today?
Well,
it is pretty obvious he's not even in the running for
the vice president. No, of course.
Now, they're the list. If you do the list, he's like 27.
He can't.
He's at the bottom for some reason. Yeah. A man who was like top three is at the bottom for some reason. So what was he going to lose at the end of the day? I know an MP who said that anyway. That what do I lose in this Akufo-Addo government? If the last minute race affair happens and they give me position, that what will I get from it?
Mm.
And of what use is supposed to be going forward? So that sentiment could have driven a certain change. And remember, we have the conversation here that this extraordinary role by party in controlling Kojo Mpeni told me the same thing. He told me about what happened in 1979, where a similar change actually occasioned the man saying he resisted the change. Yes, he resisted the change. Do you know what they did? They expelled him for the party. That was the only way they could get him to actually leave.
That is why the parties are so strong.
Yeah, because when they expel you, it invariably you're not.
Yeah, you lose your seat.
Yes. So that's how they could actually get him to do so. Not long after that, when they expelled him, then the entire parliament was also collapsed because of the 82 coup anyway. Mm. But fast forward into a system like this. Chairman Sabunsu is out. The new leadership versus the minority leadership. I suspect there's better cooperation, more likely between Afenyo and Atforsen.
Mm, you think so?
Yeah, I suspect that will be the case. I'm not sure if that will prevent people from saying that he's compromised, because the NDC will always have difficulties with their leader who cooperates with the majority. Yes. Why? You are there to do business. If you do not do, then you'll be laughing around and creating an impression that you ask Aaron Adusu how it's like being very nice and friendly to the majority in this case.
Now, I mean, so again, yesterday the speaker sort of gave a ruling that I thought was fascinating.
Because frankly, I felt it was a useless intervention. Because the way things were rolling out, we should have waited. Anyway, he says he's not going to bring his full whatever.
But no, but yesterday he ruled. He said, "This is my ruling. Yes, if you disagree, yes, go yes, to court." Yes, he's just now coming to give us his reasoning behind it. Behind it.
If they rejected it, what would he have done?
If what?
If they rejected it. If Chairman Sen and Co said that we're not going to make any change, what would he have done?
Change to what?
As in, like, we're not going to allow anybody who's been appointed to come in. Would the speaker have taken the list and read it and said, "Hey, I'm forcing you out of the seat"?
Well, I guess not.
Yes, I mean, yes. Yeah,
and the reason for me why it was strange is there was a time when Abom Bagbin was a target within the NDC. People wanted him out in Nadelu Kalu. Do you remember this?
Yes.
It took Chairman Sabunsu and others to fly all the way to the Upper West region to go and campaign for him. You remember this?
Yes, I remember very well.
Yeah. Because there had been a conspiracy to get him.
And the argument was that he's experienced, we need him, he's competent, and such hands are forever required.
Exactly. And Chairman Sabunsu was beside him, against his own party's wishes, campaigning for a man who was going to stand on the ticket of the NDC.
Mm-hmm.
In a constituency that I believe the MPP was going to fill the candidate. Mm-hmm. Right? That is how much he put himself on the line for Abom Bagbin. And then you sit in the chair, you have this man who is now under pressure to leave.
Oh.
Right? And then you in essence say, and that for me, it was a story yesterday.
And he was not required. And that's why I'm insisting.
There was nothing that compelled him to do it.
Yes, he was not required to do that.
In effect,
of all the days in his life.
What he did yesterday was to give the MPP the all clear.
Brilliant. To proceed with it.
To proceed.
In fact, it was big.
And you see, he said something very instructive. He said the parties had called him to complain. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
Yeah.
He said the parties are not happy with the provision because the clause says the majority and minority leaders
are determined
by the caucus.
Yes.
He never said in consultation with the party. Yeah, yeah. So the parties were completely cut off the thing. And then he says, well, in interpreting it, you cannot take away the parties. So he, in essence, on the back of the controversy around James Up must go, then comes to say, well, MPP, you can go ahead.
Yeah.
In fact, he says the parties must control the process. They must lead it.
That's it. In fact, that's what he said was the distinction between what he was saying and Joe Sowuzu. He insisted that
the his emphasis is on the parties leading.
But see, I mean, if anybody does not understand the thing at all, where is the party must lead it in the rules that he was interpreting? And the man created his own controversy. He said when there's controversy and there's difficulty in interpreting something, who said there was any difficulty? Who had raised that before the parliament that there was difficulty?
Plain black and white.
I didn't get the point. Who was unclear in his mind? Which member of parliament had raised the matter prior to he getting on board that? I actually think that, of course, the minority MPs will be gloating and be saying that, oh, this is what we want and this is what they, and they are forcing the man out. Why they, those ones are not enough for you to come in. Pretend that you can't see the letter, and it is a basic rule of interpretation. Unless he leaps on a said interpretation, when the letter is clear, why are you reading your own meanings into it? Why are you saying that somebody called you and gave you some background? So the people, their views matter outside. But then again, I felt he could not do so. Abambabe supported the minority change in leadership. He was for the opinion of the party imposing or party determining.
Yeah,
he couldn't, in principle, have also, yeah, mindful of.
He could have
stayed
just
away.
Quiet.
Yes, nobody invited him.
Nobody.
And I found it very strange anyway.
Quiet.
Anyway.
Kept quiet, let the thing play out. First of all, it's happening in another political party.
And it would have ended just the same day. So your ruling would have been needless the next day.
Absolutely.
So you go and write it and bring it. Then so when I was ready with it, it was no longer useful.
You know.
So you can move forward with it. Allow, or even give the rules going forward. But to create the impression that you were needed to make a change, at the time that you knew that your people were going for a meeting, not long before that meeting, oh, that was bad.
And you see, he knew the meeting was happening because yeah. he actually references the meeting. He says he knows that MPP are about to meet and it will feature. So he was fully briefed.
He basically said, whatever
it,
you
it
do
was
there,
almost as if somebody in the MPP lobbied him.
Yeah.
Because he kept on referencing the parties.
To add on to it.
That come and, you know, declare this so we can, you know, sort of deal with this revolt that we're about to have.
And you think about it, the kind of energy he will give to the people, the person you are going to send your list to says, oh, I know you are the legitimate source. If you bring the list, I will come into in good faith. That's basically what he was saying. If you say that the party that should lead it, it means that if the party even ignores the parliamentary caucus and brings you a list, you go ahead and keep it as a legitimate one.
He says that the parties must lead, they must control the process. If they are controlling the process, then you must have your say. But the party will just say, in essence, that we can't do anything about it. But that, for me, was a strange one, considering that relationship that has happened. No, I really feel for Chairman Samongso.
Has he offended Babin too? People said he became too friendly with the man. But he disrespected me on several occasions.
Oh, but that's
what leadership do.
I
remember there was a time that when I Josu told Baikokwe, please don't let me disrespect you. I remember it was a very popular soundbite. He said, don't let me disrespect you.
Yeah.
So as for having difficulties with the speaker, why not? I mean, why? They are on opposite sides.
No, you're right. You're right.
So what's the big deal with having to defer an opinion on that?
And yesterday, I was going back to make the point about I feel for Chairman Samongso.
Yeah.
Because considering his sacrifice for this party, for the MPP in parliament.
And staying in parliament when others were looking for all other positions.
He stayed put.
There was a time that somebody told me that they begged him, say, no, please, without you in parliament, we have difficulties.
You know,
so when others were looking for other positions, at that very glorious position, this unknown minister of parliamentary affairs position, he stayed with it all through. And then when it came to the final round and he felt he could have been given something else, he was denied that too.
You know,
then the role that he was keeping as associate chairman. We need to push the systems more. Yeah. We need fresh blood in the system. Well, the chairman was because he's leaving his tithe and all of that. He might be because he was not made a vice presidential candidate. All of those things could be true. But is that how you manage the exit of somebody who served for this number of years?
Yeah, I mean, a word about his replacement, Afanya Marking, great guy. In fact, today I heard Mutala Mohammed, who rarely praises anything MPP, say that, you know, he is qualified and can do the job, etc. And that's true. He's very ambitious. I have absolutely no doubt that he's right for the times because of the election year and all that. But the handling of Chairman Samboso could have been better. This whole thing could have been dealt with in a far mature way than has been done. In other words, if you wanted him out, be consistent about it. Don't let it start with the rumor. Don't let it start with a rumor that you have a whole first deputy speaker of parliament going to a press conference and responding to rumors.
Yes.
He knew what he was saying. I get it. He publicly had to put in the rumor framework. But he knew that people were trying to move the guy out, right? And for me, that is the tragedy of all this. That what does he do to those who really also want to sacrifice for the party?
Right? Yes. Because
down the line.
In any case, you, Afanya Marking, you are in today.
Yeah, if Chairman Sabunsu, you can do this.
Assuming in 10 years' time, people feel that Afanya Marking, you ran your course. You are unable to deliver on their foundations.
Yeah. I mean, but for him, it's not his fault, right? I mean, he of course, he would take over. But the president, the party, whoever decided this, should have handled this far better. Considering who, look, in our democratic history, nobody had done more in parliamentary affairs than him. There are a few of them, of course, in our history. He will be among that select group of people.
Yeah.
You know, the Alajetis of this world, the H. Mensens of this world. If you're mentioning that those...
And he prioritizes parliament.
Yeah,
you think about it.
No,
he's
a
man
He's always there. He's always there. And I've interviewed him. It's his dedication to the task. He's just brilliant. Anyway, so Chairman Sabunsu is gone. He'll be announced very shortly. His ministry will be scrapped. We'll see. He's the chairman of the manifesto committee. So we'll hear of him.
A very important position which you disagree.
Well, I completely disagree.
Yes.
Even if he was the chairman of the campaign, that is stronger.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
I mean,
agree. As in the manifesto, they're down there in terms of their influence. Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, it's just more work for very little influence.
That's true.
Far more work from very little because...
More paperwork.
It will be scrutinized heavily, criticized. You take a lot of the blame. But the influence isn't there. I mean, seriously. Joining us on the line is Chairman Sabunsu, the chairman of the Manifesto Committee. The majority leader. He's Minister of Management Affairs. Oh, please.
If I were to be him, sometimes you also retire nicely.
Well, but he did so.
Yeah.
He did so, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said he's not going to run again.
He was on his way out, no matter what happened.
Yes. So that exit, this is when, and that's why this, I think, is a tragedy.
And in all fairness, in the next 8 or 9 months, if Afanya Marking converts himself into even a speaker, there's very little he can do actually in this period.
I mean, but Afanya Marking is strong. I think what they need now is somebody like him who can marshal people.
Well,
he's strong.
Well, no, my point is that it always comes with difficulties. It also people are peeved. Who think that,
it doesn't bother how they're able to manage that. Listen, enjoy the rest of your evening.